it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad and the air is acid rain. There's a rumbling in the ground, and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls, the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that will wake the dead. We better be ready to go. 'Cause the prophets wrote about it, and Jesus spoke about it, and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw, and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
Welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible study for tonight. End times events. We're going to take a different tack tonight, a different direction. And some new information for some, maybe for those who've been following me for 5 years. I might be some old, but I always put new stuff in there. I think end times events is necessary to discuss because we're heading that way. We're heading that way. And we're being divided racially, the sexes, politically, every which way possible. So you can't band against the elite or the Luciferians controlling this. America, Council of Foreign Relations. There you go. Europe, it's rolling us through the national affairs. These organizations literally manifest Lucifer or a fallen angel inside the meetings. Run these meetings. Humans can't do it. Humans don't have the knowledge, your wisdom, the mind to plan this generations ahead. It's not even possible. With the changes and deaths and changes of generations, they'd lose it somewhere along the way. They'd lose the momentum for the next generation to take over. So it's got to have a continuity that's not human. It's impossible. I don't think anybody has to think about that. The way the generations change, how could they continue on with the same agenda in the royal families unless there's something there solid to glue them together? that can project 3-4 generations ahead or more. Nothing human can do that. The monarchies change. King James proved that. Queen Victoria proved that. They were real Christians. Not with Christianity, but Christians. Following Jesus. Christianity is following the church. Being a Christian is following Jesus. Now, there's a difference. Everybody put it that way before? Christianity follows the church. Being a Christian follows Jesus. There is a big difference. If you're scratching your head, think of it like this. Christianity has 40,000 different ways of doctrines. Some major changes, some minor, but they're changes. They're contradictory to each other. 40,000. Not all the same. Different. Otherwise, it wouldn't be different sects. But being a Christian, you're only following one. Jesus. One doctrine. King James Bible. That's it. There's nothing more. Dedicate the broadcast. Tonight, talk about... All week, actually, I can do this. All week, I got a series for end-time events. I'm going to throw it at you all week long. All week long, my broadcast. I call it Veterans Genocide. I just thought of that today. I think I'd get their attention. What do you think? Because that's exactly what it is. It's a veterans genocide. Silent genocide, unbeknownst to 98%, 99% of veterans have no idea that they're being targeted by the secret societies that they even work with. That's mind-boggling. Sad, too. And nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants to listen. They want to just go away so they don't have to see it. Well, that makes it worse. They don't do anything about it. And there's plenty they can do about it. Within their own family. Within themselves. Their friends. Fellow Marines or fellow Army, fellow whatever they belong to. To witness, to tell the truth. Be surprised what God can do with truth in one place or another can really make it big. Make it expand. I admit there are certain days that I kind of feel like, what difference am I making? Then some people remind me that, you know, along the way, and I realize if you just change one, it's enough. Or if you affect one. Or yourself, you learn something. Oh, okay. Lord, thank you tonight. Bible study, Father, we have on this day, the 9th of February, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity you've given us this day, this Monday. Lord, thank you for this network and the way you got it to us. Lord, we pray for our brethren. We pray for someone to wake people up, Lord, that somewhere there'll be whistleblowers to come out in mass that will tell the truth and wake the nation up. Those in Europe to wake Europe up, to wake those up to the truth about Jesus. We know, Father, it's very well down the road toward the falling away. That's what that is, a falling away. But Lord, before that happens, we call upon the gospel to be preached in the four corners. And Father, then we know the end will come. The end of time and the beginning of eternity. We pray, Lord, our words will reach out. That, Lord, you'll keep us in your fold. Give us ways out of sin if we fall into it. Take those temptations away. The test, Father, the infirmities you give upon us, we thank you because we know that makes us stronger. We pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit to guide us all week as we bring the truth to the air. Father, forgive me and my sins and my thoughts that may be unpleasing to you. that, Father, you'll guide me in the right path as I do my broadcast and Bible studies. And Father, hear the prayers of all those praying now. The requests for their families, the requests for themselves, the requests, Father, to guide them. Father, you know the prayers and you know what's needed. We pray for Nelda, too, tonight, Father, that you'll protect her physically, Lord, and give her healing. We pray for others we prayed for in the past, Lord, that you'll be there and give us all healing, those that, Father, we come in touch with. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Now, Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into the temptations, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, family, you know, I've been talking. I do a lot of talking on the YouTube and the Facebook thing, because that actually really is kind of a mystery in itself, I think. It carries on, but it's really getting heavily inundated with what they call shills, if you will. Those who work for the other side pretend to be on your side. And they're trained to try to minimize the name of God and the true Bible. The New Age movement, humanist movement, we talked about last week, has virtually destroyed this past two generations. Now they say that you can set your own morals, your own standards, as long as they're good. Mm-hmm. But that's wrong. God sets the commandments and the conditions. Man doesn't have the wisdom to do so. None of us consider our own morals as they believe today. If that's the case, then I could be a rapist and a murderer, and it's okay. Who's to judge me then if I can set my own standards? I don't think they think about that when they come up with these ideas. Since humans had no part in the creation of themselves, we came into this world is already here. You and I can set our own morals? I don't think so. Then so can the rapists, the murderers, and criminals. They can set their own morals then. See, God established the gospel and how we're to live according to his rules, not our own. Otherwise, we'd have anarchy, total confusion, if left up to mankind to decide. But God gave us free will to choose him and the commandments or not. You see, hell was created through rebellious angels and Satan, which was before us. Hell was not created for mankind. However, if we follow their ways, hell's where we end up. God gave man a way out of these conditions. He established the rules, and the wages of sin is simply death. All sin. So you have two deaths. One is always the physical. But in the rapture, it won't be. For some it will. Enoch didn't see death. Lazarus saw it twice. One is always the physical death. It releases the soul. Body goes to the ground to be brought back in translation. That's what translation means. Being translated has a lot to do with DNA and formal definitions. You know that? I found that as very curious. The soul is not redeemed, it's separated from God, that's is the second death. Separation from God, not annihilation. Annihilation is actual, would that be actual reward? If you realize, I can sin all I want on earth, when I die, God just annihilates me. So what? I don't like it around here anyway. What are you talking about? It doesn't work that way. Separation from God is spiritual death. You're still alive, but you are within evil. It's punishment. He's not reward us for the evil that we've done. He lists them. But you see, Jesus bore the price of death on the cross for us. Not for the angels or Satan. All you got to do is believe on him, have faith, and live according to how God established the rules, not our own. And acknowledge the sins that I know I sinned, and here they are, and so I'm aware of it. It's that simple. We don't have to be separated because we accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into us and helps us get through these trials and live according to God's purpose. We don't have to be separated. When we accept Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into us, helps us to get through these trials and live according to God's purpose and His guidance in a supernatural way. Otherwise, the dark side creeps in, redirects us from His guidance, so to speak. It's the way of this universe and what we came into. His rules are the Ten Commandments. When Jesus came into the world, He further explained them, boiled them down to two. To love one another and then love the Lord thy God with all our heart and soul. You do that, it takes care of the ten. You do the ten, it takes care of the 613 given to Moses. We can't establish our own morals or laws, as man does not have the wisdom to see the future. And the heart of man is continually wicked according to the Bible and according to how things go. Jesus provided the gospel and the way to God for all the same. Evidence is all there because if there weren't, they would have proven it. He didn't exist long ago. They haven't. We deny the evidence that's there because we don't accept His conditions. However, faith is required in love and respect, which is also called fear. Today they have a different definition for fear than the past. We think of fear as trembling and scared, but no, fear is love and respect. But that's required without sin, as He told Thomas. What about those? I do a good job all my life, maybe not take Jesus as my Savior, but I'm a good old boy. Here you got a murderer at the last minute, except Jesus, and he goes to heaven, I don't. Well, that's not quite fair. Well, they're not taught right. Because God will bring upon a man who does not believe, since only God knows the heart. We cannot know the heart of another person. He knows the heart of those who will be more remorseful and who's not. God will send a strong delusion, a deception to the individual and the evil one that will not repent. And only God knows. That's why we can't judge. Only God knows that evil heart, or knows the heart that appears to be evil is still good and has a chance. But God will send a strong delusion to that one who will not repent but will believe the lie. And he'll have no chance to say the words that will get him saved, because God will turn him over to a reprobate mind. Because only God knows the heart. That's why we as humans cannot establish our own rules, because we don't know the future, nor can we know the heart of another person. If that criminal is truly remorseful, could he not be forgiven? See, we're judging him, then we're saying it's too late, man. We're saying it's too late. You can't, it's too late, man. You're going, nah. What if he's really remorseful? the worst sins are just murder. People think of the worst sins as murder and rape and all that, but it's everything from lust to pride, everything. Lying. And lying's not color-coded. Stealing's not the amount that makes it the worst. Stealing is stealing, period. There are more sins than just murder. They're all sins in God's eyes, and the Holy Spirit helps us through these supernaturally. I can almost witness this about myself. Some things were taken away from me. I don't do them anymore. Not all of them. It's a daily fight for me anyway. But accepting Jesus means you're committed to loving others and God. So, Holy Spirit comes to us and supernatural help is there. Satan is real and so are the demons. It's not a representation of evil or good. They're real entities. But the evil ones, the fallen angels, demons, Satan, they're deceivers and desire to keep us away by any means possible. To deny Jesus is one way. It opens us up to all the other sins that's available. We can't establish our own morals. If we can, so can 7 billion other people. You see the problem that would be. It'd be a world out of control. On this world, Satan wants us to stay blind to his world. That's why Christians are walking right in tune with the world. He controls the politics, the philosophy, education, finance, religions. All religions are the enemy. Science, all sciences, arts, entertainment, speeches, movies, TV, radio, fashion, gaming, sports, magazines, festivals, all these things that keep us away and keep us tied up and busy. Sounds weird, don't it? But it's actually true. Whatever it takes, keep us away from connecting dots. Sharing what Jesus has done for us to overcome the world and all the deception from the enemy, this lays a strong foundation in Jesus because the world is a sin trap. That's what we're in. It's a sin trap, totally. Therefore, if we know the truth, you're free from bondage. The entire world is bondage, but you're not taught this. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. People keep forgetting he's a God of love, but he's a just God too. He's not playing. You don't take that free will lightly. So we come upon the events of today. Not meaning today, the 9th of February, but today, this period of time. And I've talked about this before, but I find it quite amazing. Because you see, just like it says in my introductory song, it's going by the book. More than 2,000 years ago, God gave his servant, remember? We talked about this 3 weeks ago. God gave his servant Daniel a vision of the future that we recognize the most comprehensive prophetic insight ever given to man. He predicted 2,500 years in the future with 100% accuracy. Not 99, 100%. And through Daniel, God actually gave a composite history of the remaining days of the world today. The first kingdom was what? We talked about Babylon. That was followed by the Medes, the Persians, the Greeks, the Romans. And then the last world kingdom will be made up from a restored Roman Empire. So according to Daniel, there's yet to be another sort of division of the Roman Empire. He foretold a time when the Roman Empire would consist of 10 kingdoms or leaders. You'll find that in Daniel 2, verse 24 to 43, Daniel 7, verse 7, and Daniel 24. And you know that that 10 kingdom prophecy remains in this future, because not only has the 10 leader form of the Roman Empire never existed in history, but neither has such a kingdom been suddenly crushed or as prophecy indicated. Daniel 2, when we talked about that, states that the Roman Empire in its final form will experience a sudden destruction. Well, the Roman Empire of Jesus' day didn't end suddenly. It gradually deteriorated and declined over, well, many centuries. I don't know exactly how long. Until the western part, the Holy Roman Empire, fell in AD 476. And the Byzantine Empire fell in AD 1453. So, you can hardly imagine a more gradual slide from glory to oblivion as these periods. So we got to conclude that some form of Roman Empire must emerge in the end times. That's according to Daniel. And it will be in place prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, who's going to rule and reign over the earth. So, therefore, this unification of Europe is a reunification of the Roman Empire, the European Union. It's coming. What's going to happen?
Well, I don't have a crystal ball, but I got an idea.
The war in the heavens is going to be an invisible war, one that you're not going to see. The one you do see is one you got to watch out for, because it's going to be a fraud. That's the tricky part. A lot of people in these holograms are going to be very surprised. And the war in heaven, the real war in heaven, will be unseen. You'll not be able to see it with the naked eye or by the people who still live on the earth, as the 7-year tribulation will then begin to unfold. You're not going to see it. The one you do see, it'd be to set up the first seal. And the next incredible event is that Satan and all his fallen angels will be cast out of heaven and cast down to earth. That's by Michael the Archangel and his army of angels. There'll be literally be a war in the heavens between God's angels and Satan, his fallen angels. And let me tell you something. Humans are not going to be a part of that. You're not going to be taking on some angel. Not in our state now. You're going to be a little busy dealing with what's down here. So we're talking the stars in heaven will fall. We're talking the sixth seal here. Again, the one you see is not the one in the Bible. Four blood moons is not in the Bible. I don't see why people can't figure this out, because nowhere in the Bible is there four blood moons. And just because Fatima or whoever other kind of prophet says it doesn't mean anything. And you know, to understand this war in heaven, you need to know that there are three heavens. You know, the Apostle Paul says that he was taken up to the third heaven, paradise, where he believes, where I believe, other theologians, I'm not a theologian, but others who study the Bible, they believe he's encountered Jesus, possibly God the Father, supernaturally. He says he doesn't know if he was in his body or out of his body when he had the experience. And what Paul does when he brings this to the Bible, he does it in a humble way. It's like you're taking a humble approach. You say, well, I knew somebody. You're talking about yourself, but you don't tell anybody that. He didn't say, God took me up and I stood there. He didn't say that like people do and write the books. Then they go and said, Roth, it's supernatural. He doesn't do that. He does it humbly, so as to minimize his position in the Bible and exalt Jesus' position, as John the Baptist did. There are three heavens, and Paul was taken up to the third heaven, which is called paradise. Paradise was moved from Abraham's bosom to heaven. He encountered Jesus supernaturally. He says he does not know if he was in his body or out of his body when he had this experience. It says in 2 Corinthians 12, one to four. He says it's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. He always starts off humbly. You see what he says? I'm not going to bring myself up for glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. God knoweth, he says in the King James Bible. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. So the Bible names it. 2 Corinthians 12:3. That's 12:2. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise, heard unspeakable words which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. He'll glorify himself and be glorified in his own infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I'd like to, but I should not be as a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth to me. So he doesn't want to exalt himself above anybody else. So, when you read that, pretty much points to Paul doing the speaking and Paul being the one in the third heaven. If that verse is telling us that there's a third heaven, then there must be a first and second heaven. If God and Jesus live in the third heaven, then the first heaven has to be our earth. The second heaven is what's called the air, or the atmosphere between heaven and our earth, inclusive of the universe. Satan's called prince of the power of the air in the Bible. That's where he and his demons live and roam in. And they live on these planets, supernaturally, orbs. Human flesh or any kind of flesh cannot live out there unless it's different than flesh we have today. Those planets are desolate. Only can be inhabited by supernatural beings, not aliens. There's a big difference. They go back and forth through portals from their supernatural form to physical form, which is different DNA. They can reproduce as they did in Genesis 6:2 and 6:4. And the angels that came to visit Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, they sat down to eat. I should tell you something. And the one angel that killed 185,000 Assyrians, one angel killed in one night. I'd say it's pretty physical. Makes you wonder, though, after the first 20, some of them might have got the idea that, hey, this is not working. I'm out of here, mama. Maybe killed them all at one time. I don't know. But 185,000 of them decided to take on one angel from God, and that was a bad mistake. Big mistake. Satan's fallen angels are cast out of the third heaven. That's where God and Jesus lived, long before we as humans were ever created on earth. Satan had rebelled against God before we were ever created, and we were created to take his place. Once we go through the, boot camp, I call it, for heaven. This is boot camp for heaven. That the angels will never have went through. Your Arnold Murray cult groups and other groups of cult nature believe that we were former angels. Angels that got picked and was brought down here in physical form to be lifted above after we get through our boot camp of flesh. No. Then there's another school of thought that we were souls or spirits in heaven first. He knew us first before we were born. And then when we were born in the embryo, he sent us down into an embryo where we take a physical form, and that way we learn to be better humans and angels later or whatever. But that doesn't work because that means that infants that are dead, and like in abortions, never got the opportunity. So it leads people to believe in reincarnation. See how sneaky they are? Ephesians 2, 1 to 2. Ephesians 2. I don't know about you. This is quite interesting because this is this is what's coming. I mean, this is going to happen. And you hath he quickened. Okay, I'll do a Bible study on that this week. I have one set up. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Satan is not confined to the bottomless pit or lake or fire brimstone at this time. He isn't down there like an administrator sitting there with a pencil in his ear. And he's got a little cap on and says, okay, you, let's see, who are you now? Oh, I'm waiting for you. You go over here. It's not working that way. He didn't walk around down in hell poking people with a three-pronged pitchfork and with a long tail with a little arrowhead on the end of it. That's not Satan. This is a lie that the churches and cartoonists have put about Satan. He's not there yet. Hell was created for them. Before dawn, before the dawn of man. Satan is not confined in a bottomless pit or a lake of fire and brimstone at this time. He is free to roam in the air until Jesus comes back to us in the second coming. And after Jesus comes back, Satan is then thrown in the bottomless pit. Not the lake of fire, bottomless pit for 1,000 years and then eventually into the lake of fire and brimstone at the end of the 1,000-year millennium after the real battle of Gog and Magog. You got the red horse, the seal number 2. That's World War 3. Armageddon, that's between the supernatural armies that Satan has and Jesus Christ himself. At the end of the 1,000 years, it's Gog and Magog. See, I don't understand why these theologians or people that do study of any kind in the Bible keep calling this coming up Armageddon. It's not possible. This is, cannot be Armageddon. Now, they can call it what they want to. Make up their own Bible if they want to. It don't make it true, though. Armageddon says 7 years tribulation before World War III. Before Armageddon. Armageddon isn't Russia against and China against UN and NATO. That's absolutely pathetic. That's ridiculous. World War III in itself is between Islam and Zionism. And then other countries will on either side will fight to exhaustion of each, all of them. It means China, Russia, Middle East, America, all of them will fight to exhaustion, will no longer be effective. And that's when the EU will form together the old Roman Empire by default. A leader will come out of that to declare himself God. And boy, that's when the trumpets sound. You see how it works? That's in the Bible. So, in the event Satan is cast from the second heaven, the universe, the physical universe, down to the first heaven, which is earth, the Bible says that Satan really gets mad and furious when this event occurs because he knows he has a very little time left before Jesus comes back for his second advent, coming to throw into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. The sun will be dark as sackcloth, the moon, one blood moon, as red, sixth seal, and the stars will fall from heaven. Stars are the fallen angels. When Jesus Christ leaves his throne in the third heaven at the seventh trumpet for the battle of Armageddon, there'll be no demons or fallen angels in the second heaven. They'll be on earth. Just like they were in the flood, they had to watch their children die, which was the Nephilim. Well, once again, their kingdom will crumble with the seven trumpets. So there'll be no resistance at all in the second heaven when Jesus Christ comes back at the end of the 7 years. The Bible says that woe to the people who are still living on the earth when this event happens. Satan will then start to release his wrath upon the earth. He'll first go after the Jewish people, but God will provide protection for a third of the Jews. He'll not be able to kill all of them. The Bible says he'll turn his attention to the rest of God's people, the saints in Christ. This is where you get the 42 months that God's saints will be allowed to be given into the hand of the devil and Antichrist for mass persecution. Fifth seal is called souls on the altar. So the war in heaven will probably occur right around the midpoint of the tribulation. That would be the sixth seal. And that event will also explain why the Antichrist, all of a sudden in the middle of the tribulation, breaks off his peace treaty with the English, Jewish people, and then proceeds to seat himself in the Jewish temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Then will start the mass persecution of Jewish people and God's saints. Some people believe, theologians believe, that Satan himself will actually possess the Antichrist, like an avatar of sort, since he has officially been cast down to earth. Through the Antichrist, he would have human characteristics, be able to enjoy the five senses the humans have. Supernatural beings, orbs, can't do that. So why would God cast Satan out of the second heaven then? Why not just wait until the sun comes back and then cast him in the bottomless pit for the second heaven? Well, it's possible that Jesus, when he comes back the second time, he'll start a dissension from the third heaven where he now resides. He'll then pass through the second heaven and land on the first heaven, which is our earth at the Mount of Olives. Then we'll begin his reign on this earth. So you figure, as I said before, God may want the second heaven in between the first and third, cleaned out of all demons and from Satan and all his demons, before his son starts to descend from the third heaven. Case in point, when Daniel prayed for an angel, the angel finally showed up 2 weeks later. The angel said that he had dispatched immediately, but it took him 2 weeks to get through the second, to get to him. He had to fight his way through. He had him call Michael, the archangel. How do angels fight? I have no idea. But apparently they do. So Satan will obviously know that when he's cast down upon the earth, and Bible says from this point on, he knows his time is really short. That's why he's angry. He's furious he had to do that. He wants to wreak vengeance. That's the first 3.5 years, Satan's revenge, Satan's wrath. And death, for those who believe in Jesus, is simply removing them. So the wicked will be left on this earth for the first trumpet. And it don't get nothing but ugly from then on. They had nothing good about it. So you don't want to be here. Some will be left here. Satan will have his last 3.5 years to wreak as much havoc that through the Antichrist and false prophet. A burn, earth, scorch, posse, you might say. Satan will, or Jesus will finally put an end to his reign of glory, terror, excuse me. And what he thinks is glory, but his reign of terror. So, there'll be a lesson of history. We see what happens when Satan merges the Antichrist and false prophet to Sanan Emmanuel, Maitreya, you might call him. And this to cause as much destruction as they possibly can for the last 3.5 years of the seven trumpets. If that church been raptured at some time in this period, God's restraining spirit removed. Oh, no technology will exist. Earthquake will have removed it, tore it down. And it'll be like shooting fish in a barrel. We'll get to that later on this week. This is kind of preliminary, setting things up. I like to set things up instead of just throwing things at you. Without God and his church in the big picture, man that's in union with Satan, his fallen angels, will wreak nothing but pure havoc and destruction on a mass scale to a degree that no man would ever think possible. And for those who think that man's basically good, well, I don't need God in my life and all that, and that we're capable of creating a utopian type of paradise, and our earth, their own human efforts will be like forever. Transhumanized humans will live forever. Well, these people will be shown firsthand what's going to happen when the earth is left to the hands of humans under the influence of Satan and all of his demons. Then they will know. They'll understand. It'll be too late. The result will end up being mass chaos, helter-skelter, and total destruction to a degree that the world's never seen before. we'll never see again. Even Jesus himself said that these days, had these days not been shortened by God the Father, no flesh would survive this horrible time of trouble. Not going to be pretty. It's not a threat. It's not negative. It's just what is. And God warns us about it in the Bible. It's all right there. Kind of tells you in the Bible. Sometimes I make my way around this thing and put things together to go along. In this time, what I'm talking about tonight, you'll find it, if I'm not mistaken, around Revelation 12. Let's go to Revelation 12. Seven. And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, Satan, and the dragon fought with his angels, and prevails not, neither was there place found many more in heaven. And that great dragon was cast out, and the old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceives the whole world, is cast out into the earth. His angels were cast out with him. The Bible describes itself. Tells you right there. There's no mystery. Bible code, Torah code, that's nonsense. You don't have to know, you know, like Indiana Jones and figure all this stuff out. He's pretty straight up forward about it. There's no secret, lost, forgotten Jewish book that comes out of the ground or some Vatican found documents that's in deep dark, covered with dust and spiders that say, oh, look what we found. All that's just nonsense. Every bit fabricated. And the Gnostics, the same thing. It's junk. Then I heard a voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ shall come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. But woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. For the devil's come down to you having great wrath, because he knows he's got a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he was being cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman, church, who gave birth to the male child, but the woman was given two wings and a great eagle. Well, there's people trying to say that's America, but it's not. It's talking about being swift. That she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she nourished for a time and times a half, from the presence of the serpent. What does that say? He protects those of Israel who follow the truth. They'll be born again. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood to the woman. After the woman, he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. The dragon was enraged with the woman, the church, and he went to make war with her, the rest of her offspring, parishioners, who kept the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, what it don't say, it has a testimony of Christianity, of Mormonism, of Islam, of Baptists, of Methodists, or any other religion. It's the testimony of Jesus Christ. And you know what? The Bible tells you. The woman mentioned in the above verse is Israel. The male child that the woman had given birth to is Jesus. The Bible is self-explanatory. There's no mysteries in the Bible, except the ones that he tells, because we don't have the dimensional capacity to understand right now. He tells Daniel, shut up this book. He knew that the people back then would have no clue what that Bible was talking about until such time that we can, the day we can. And notice that the woman, Israel, is given under the protection of a great eagle after Satan's cast down upon the earth. The protection is for a time, and times and a half a time, and we already know that stands for 3.5 years from the prophecy of Daniel, already talked about in last week. It's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. As I said before, a lot of people think that this great eagle is the United States. And that's because we have the symbol of the eagle. I don't know if that was accidental or on purpose to be deceiving or what. Israel today is under control of the monarchy, the colony, just like America is, and Canada and Australia. But the Jews are going there. There'll be a changeover. And when Satan, the Antichrist, the false prophet are given incredible authority and power to carry out the unholy reign of terror for 3.5 years, you wonder, it begs the question, how's God go about getting anyone saved during these last times of the church? We'll talk about that later, about God's four avenues to reach the lost during the tribulation. False prophets, the 144,000, the angel flying overhead, are a few ways. We're toward the end now, and what we'll give you all tomorrow is the basic overview of the end time events, so you get an idea of where we're headed with it. And the restoration of the Jewish people back to Israel, rebuilding of the Jewish temple, and rise of the Antichrist, false prophet. We'll talk a little bit about everything this week and some details. Well, family, I want to remind you, we're played up at highportradio.net randomly. He plays my broadcast and Bible studies. John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York. He has website, highportradio.net, www.highportradio.net. He has sponsors. So if you live in New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, you can check out his website for the sponsors and see if you can use them. I appreciate y'all coming by. You know, my website is Watcher for Jesus. And my Facebook, watchforforjesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchful for Jesus. And I appreciate y'all coming by. Let's close in prayer. And this week, I tell you though, we're going to hit a lot of areas this week. I feel today, I don't know what's going to happen, maybe nothing, but I think I effectively destroyed the U.S. foreign policy this afternoon with evidence. I mean, you know, I'm going to send it out, and I hope it calls up a storm, but I don't know what will happen. But people need to know what's going on and how Satan is using our country, using Europe, secret societies. We got to face the truth to solve any problems. I heard before, you got to acknowledge that there is a problem. That's true. If you don't do it honestly, you're never going to find a solution. It's impossible. Impossible. To find a solution to a problem if you don't know the darn problem. How come people can't figure that out? Let's close in prayer before I get excited. Lord, thank you tonight for bringing us together in this Bible study. In these end times events, Lord, we need your Holy Spirit, wisdom, discernment to see through deception that's coming our way. Lord, to give us the opportunity to be courage, to have courage to stand against these lies that's coming. Father, give the words to witness to others when the time comes that you put us in that position. We pray for our families, bring them together. We pray for healing of all those we prayed for in the past. Healing of the mind and the body, the soul, to prepare us for that time to come when the tribulations begin, whether this generation or the next. Father, carrying the Great Commission is what we're here for, and to worship you. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Family, I appreciate y'all coming by, y'all. And obviously, these two broadcasts and Bible studies up tonight. And, well, there you go. Here we go. Another week. And we're off and running. So y'all have a good night. God bless you. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 to 6. We'll talk more about the attack on our veterans. And I call it, just talk about this afternoon, veterans genocide. That only gets the people's attention. What do you think? So y'all have a good night. God bless. I'll see y'all tomorrow at 4. This is Tom Gamble, your watchman, signing off.
Love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. Guilt and my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted in.
I am with you every day.